Hello, it's Stacey Holt from Real Estate Excellence. Thank you for joining me for this special Queensland podcast. Today, the 11th of December 2019, I've been invited to be on a panel at an event hosted by Tenants Queensland. The event is called Generation Rent Needs a Home, and it's been particularly put on because of the tenancy law reforms currently underway in Queensland. I wanted to share with you some of my notes that I'll be presenting at the event, and I'll be putting them at my blog, realestateexcellence.com.au, and it will be my final statement and submission to the Queensland Labor Government in relation to the review. Now, firstly, I really agree that Generation Rent needs a home, but Generation Rent also needs investors, and of course, investors need Generation Rent. We need to work together on this. The way the Labor Government of Queensland has conducted the review of rental tenancy laws in Queensland has created a lot of uncertainty and some fear for investors and the real estate industry. The review carried out in 2018 was arduous, complex, and lengthy. Most in the sector would not have had the time to keep up with the review for what turned out to be almost 3 months in length. The reported statistic of government that 2% of the property management industry contributed to the 135,000 responses, I don't believe is correctly represented, given organisations such as my company, Real Estate Excellence, who has over 250 agency member offices in Queensland. Of course, the REIQ, the Real Estate Institute, other great companies like PPM Group and Real Estate Dynamics, to name other substantial industry representation and membership. So the 2% is, I think, not representative of the facts, as we represented our clients and the industry as a whole in our own submissions. I made 13 in my own right. Now, the Minister for Housing posted on his social media page recently regarding taking a pledge relating to victims of domestic and or family violence in tenancies and for them having an easier option to end tenancies. What I find really disappointing, and this has really added fear, possible anger and confusion by many in the sector, is the Minister for Housing called for people to take the pledge and sign an online submission to support people in these terrible situations in relation to tenancy law. What was really disappointing, and I must say quite a shock, is the link to the Labor Party website to complete and sign support stated that by people taking the pledge, people agree to ending revenge evictions, minimum housing standards, tenants' right to make modifications to the property, right to have pets, plus tenant right to end tenancies who are victims of domestic or family violence. Strategies such as what have been used by the Minister and other members of the Labor Party have only escalated the confusion, fear and uncertainty. The Regulatory Impact Statement, the RIS, is meant to discuss the government preferred option and call for feedback from all parts of the sector. The language and behaviour of the government during the review and now this consultation stage shows a great bias towards any constructive feedback and a very unbalanced approach. I will discuss the matter without grounds further shortly. However, it must be said that government language verbally and in writing of stopping revenge and or retaliatory evictions is aggressive, embellished and without substantiated evidence that it actually does occur. There appears to be only anecdotal evidence. In my review and understanding and knowledge of QCAT cases over the last 10 years in Queensland, there have been three decision appeals regarding retaliatory eviction applications. Now, of course, not all decisions or appeals are published. If this is such a widespread issue, where are the RTA statistics of fact from their call centre and or dispute resolution? This critical stage of consultation and the RIS, the Regulatory Impact Statement, is lacking in detail and is disappointing. Whilst the 170-page document is detailed, it is lacking in detail. Hear me out. What is needed for such a substantial change to legislation is actual detail, meaning where are the proposed amendments to review and comment on? The timeline provided by the Labor government states the next stage is the decision of the RIS and then the bill. There does not appear that there will be any further consultation for what is most important, the facts. The bill will then be introduced into Queensland Parliament in 2020. Most of the RIS is unbalanced in my view and not fair or just to all parties. There is only one possible benefit for an investor, being the proposed introduction of a notice to leave for serious breach. This has long been lacking in our industry, particularly with drug use, manufacturing and contamination being a concern within the sector. All of the proposed reforms potentially benefit tenants only. This is not about the investor right or control, though some certainly feel disempowered and fearful about their investment of hundreds of thousands of dollars. A reasonable person would understand that fear, and government are attempting to dictate how an investor can decide the future of their investment. Government should be focusing on purchasing land and building properties to assist in the affordable housing sector, as opposed to, I guess, putting, I think, their social responsibility as government onto investors and then increasing compliance. We should know at this stage of the review of such important legislation for many of the following. What are the proposed grounds for a lessor to refuse a PET? What is the definition of minor modifications? Why is the time frame for a response for some of the minor modifications that we don't actually know what they are, only 7 days proposed? There has to be a more reasonable time frame to allow for contact, discussion and negotiation, and I recommend it to be changed to 14 days, subject to what are minor modifications. What are minimum housing standards going to be? This is most disappointing given Section 17A was inserted and Section 185 amended by the government way back in November 2017. Given all this time, it's disappointing that they may not have provided, by not giving actual detail, a more constructive consultation period. People do not know what they're disputing, agreeing to, or in part agreeing to, etc. Like, what? Where is the detail? We've only got, you know, a list of what may occur, but what does it actually mean? In relation to domestic and family violence, being a reason a tenant can provide a notice is supported in part. The time frame should be more reasonable and be a 14-day notice to terminate. The ability for a co-tenant, should there be one, to give 21 days notice when a victim terminates due to violence should not proceed. Any people named on the tenancy contract who are on the lease have other ways to end the tenancy should they need, and that they are not the affected party should not be given a provision to end a tenancy when they are not the victim. Without grounds as a reason to end a fixed-term tenancy has long been an emotive issue within our industry. An unintended consequence which appears to have not been considered in landlord insurance and risk. Most landlord insurance policies provide no or limited coverage for periodic tenancies. The information I'm giving is general in nature, of course, and I'm not qualified to give insurance advice. Common practice of the industry since the notice to leave without ground provision was increased to 2 months in 2009 is for lessors to be contacted by their agents around 2.5-3 months prior to a fixed term agreement contract expiring. Now, the only reason this best practice of the last 10 years has occurred is in the event the lessor wishes to end the tenancy contract without grounds, without reason, and the 2 months' notice can be provided to the tenant. The regulatory impact statement notes that Queensland has some of the highest fixed-term tenancy contracts in Australia. Now, there's a reason for this. The reason this would long be the case is mainly due to security of all parties, best practice, and particularly landlord insurance. If a tenant is offered a new agreement lease renewal contract and refuses to enter into a lease renewal, the tenancy by law reverts to a periodic if no action is taken. Now, in the future, this leaves the investor in a serious position of risk due to reasons noted. Most lessor insurance policies provide limited or no coverage in the event of loss if a tenant contract is periodic. Due to the insurance and risk of management and security, tenants currently may be given a notice to leave without ground if they do not wish to enter into a tenancy agreement. Most tenants are really good people, as are most investor lessors and, of course, agents. Bad things happen to good people, meaning if the tenant does not want to enter into a lease renewal agreement, as they want the flexibility of a periodic lease, and the lessor does not have a proposed prescribed reason to end a tenancy contract, the investor is left in a potentially very dangerous position if the tenant's situation changes because of life. Examples include addiction, job losses, relationship dispute as opposed to violence and more. In the event the good tenancy goes bad and the lease is periodic, there is a great risk of loss to the investor. There are genuine concerns investors may leave the market due to the loss of right to end a tenancy contract for their asset without grounds. This is a possibility the government cannot afford to risk, given supply and demand drive rental market price plus the lack of social housing and the risk of homelessness. All parties will suffer should the removal of grounds proceed. The solution to the minority of lessors, if there are, because there's no fact, who the government call retaliatory and revenge eviction, which I greatly dispute, is to introduce a penalty unit provision if a tenant is provided a without ground notice in breach of Section 291. with section 292 being amended to allow for tenant to make complaint to the RTA with support of advocates if there is an alleged breach of the lessor of that provision. So basically, my understanding is Tenants Queensland had long expressed concern regarding section 292 in the tenant must action and take an action, the action being applying to tribunal, which is an urgent application currently within 4 weeks of being a notice to leave, and it's thought to be retaliatory or in contravention of section 291. The option of introducing a penalty for the issuing a notice to leave without grounds is a win for all parties and provides a tenant an effortless cost-free option of complaining to the RTA with support of advocates for a review of the notice to leave being given. The RTA should have the option of setting aside the notice plus imposing a penalty and or prosecution if upon their usual investigation process they find the lessor is in breach. Now, there may be administrative burden for the RTA. However, this should not deter the government consideration given the serious risks involved for all parties should a notice to leave without ground be removed from the legislation. Now, given the number of QCAT decisions, where is actually the evidence? Most of the unbalanced proposed reforms require an action of the lessor investor or an agent to take a matter to QCAT, such as refusing a PET, the reasonable grounds are unknown, minor modifications not agreed to. Again, we don't know what those minor modifications in detail are. It's difficult to provide constructive feedback in relation to minimum housing standards, again, for reasons I've already said and noted. There should be further consultation after the closing of the RIS on the 28th of December 2019, with all the sector by the government releasing the draft act and regulation amendments. This would be a more reasonable, democratic and just way of truly achieving the outcome of making renting fair for all parties. All my submissions, including this, will be on my website and are at my running blog, realestateexcellence.com.au. Thank you for joining me. Please make sure you have your say. Investors have your say. And at my website, realestateexcellence.com.au, I've got the links to the government part of the review and a lot more. So this is Stacey Holt from Real Estate Excellence. Thank you for joining me. Bye for now.